Right, I'm gonna go drink some whiskey and smoke cigars.
This is the Just for Chicks podcast. Here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Just for Kicks podcast. It's match day two is now complete in the English Premier League, and we have a lot to talk about. So let's get right to it. My name is Brett McCollum. I'm here with a voice from last week's pod and last year, Kyle Giermek. Kyle, how are you doing?
Fantastic.
All right, that's emphatic. And then the other person on the line was in every pod last year. He sat out the first one, nursing a strained, hamstring that he picked up in the week before. But he's back with us, Jake McCollum. How are you doing?
Good. Although I should note that I have the Giants versus the Cardinals game, just like it's on a TV in the office, and because I'm actually still at the office, and Yadier Molina just put a ball into the upper deck, so now they're down 1-0, so not as good, but
damn it,
now live updates on the pod. I love it.
So
we are through 2 weeks crushed in the English Premier League. It's been already, I feel like, the amount of drama. Maybe I'm just manufacturing it, but it just seems like I can't believe I went an entire offseason without it, because it's just so good. But let's get right into the games. I think that's kind of what we're best at talking about. So the first one we're going to talk about was arguably, probably in my opinion, the most entertaining for a lot of reasons. But this was Man City-Chelsea, a game in which City won 3-0 at home. And we have a ardent City supporter, Kyle, to break down that one for us.
Well, I don't know how deep we can get into it because Marino said the result was fake, so I don't know how much we can take away from all that. But no, I mean, City looked as good as you can. I'm not going to sell us short like I did the week before. I mean, doing it against Chelsea versus West Brom definitely carries a little more weight. I don't know. I mean, City keep... they keep trekking along. Everyone looks good. Their defense looks amazing, which has been, obviously the crux of years past. But I think a big thing about this whole thing is City's healthy this year, and they're well rested, and you're kind of seeing it all play out.
Yes, and I want to jump in here, and because I can tell you're a little bit reticent to talk about kind of how good City has looked. But
he was last week too. Gosh,
this I understand it. I'm not saying that there's not a good reason for it. If Spurs had jumped out to, when I know we'll get to them, to two great victories. I mean, the first one obviously not as important, but and I'm blanking on who it was against, but West Brom. Yeah. Anyway, so back to back 3-0 wins, one of them versus the reigning champions. But we can, Brett. I mean, me and you, Kyle doesn't have to get into it if you want to jinx it, but we can talk about this. This was a domination. And it looked like it was two different, like it wasn't a level playing field.
No.
And Kyle jumped on it, jumped on it with them looking healthy. Yaya Toure has been looking great. And that's, he's number, for me, it's there's Kuhn, David Villa, they're the goal scorers, they're the playmakers.
Silva.
If you don't have David Silva, if you don't have Yaya kind of just still running things in the middle, and Fernandinho also looked amazing. I think it's tough for them to win, and he was back. He was. We know how good he was 2 years ago, and it looks like maybe last year was not only for him but for Fernandinho too. You know, you get tired from a year long run like they had in 2013, and you kind of just drop off a little bit. It's understandable. I think watching this team is going to be, for me as a neutral fan, but someone who definitely respects them, probably one of the greatest joys of the Premier League I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I want to, so City, the story is City looking just phenomenal, but Chelsea looked bad. And so the couple things to, like, a couple notes I had. I don't know what's happened to Branislav Ivanovic, because this is now 2 weeks in a row. He got pretty much obliterated by Jefferson Montero, and now Raheem Sterling kind of did anything he wanted to him, and Ivanovic just looks slow and bad. And, like, granted, those are two of, like, probably the best left wings in the Premier League right now. but
fast guys, very fast.
Yeah, definitely fast. And like, but it's just like usually he can use his physicality, and he's obviously has a good understanding of the game. He's been one of the best, you know, fullbacks in the league for a number of years now, and it's just like something's different. Fabregas didn't look nearly as dangerous as he had in the past, and I mean, I don't know. You can point to a lot of things, but it was a pretty bad performance by Chelsea and Mourinho. And now everybody's just ripping him so much for all the excuses and stuff, and it's just it's great entertainment. But Chelsea's got a lot to do. They don't look like a championship side. They don't even look like a top four side right now. So that's problematic for them.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like, you know, within the off season, somehow, you know, however many months are in between, what, 4 or 5 months, Chelsea just aged twice or three times as more than any other team.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know what happened because it's essentially the same lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And they look 10 times worse this year than last year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was the biggest concern with Chelsea over the summer was they aren't signing anyone. Mourinho liked the team he had, but I think deep down Mourinho probably recognized that he was going to make a Champions League run or he was going to make a Premier League run, and if he was going to do both, he needed to make some signings, and it was odd not seeing him make those signings. I'd be interested to see if they try to get a late grab with someone before the end of this window happens, or if they're still hanging around in January. I could easily see them making a couple big pushes then.
With that said, what do you think they need most?
I just think they need cover. I think now, I guess Brett pointed out, I mean, the cover for the defense all around. I mean, Zuma looks like he's still a little bit a ways away from being, you know, really polished. And John Terry's on the other end of that, where he's just too far away from being athletically there for a full season. I think you get stuck in the middle where Cahill's going to have a lot of hard work just kind of covering for both of them for different reasons, if that makes sense.
Well, they're trying to get John Stones from Everton,
yeah.
Which... I mean, I don't know. There's been two bids. Everton has rejected both.
He has to be another striker. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I don't think Costa looks good at all. I don't think I think it looks more and more like it might have been. I don't know. We'll see. He hasn't looked good for 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't definitely not been in form at all.
I'm not a huge Costa fan in general, but I don't think he's been the issue. But yeah, I mean, they're a little thin up top in general. They don't really like having.
I just think he had a great first six months of last year, and then I don't think anyone's been able to point to some quality soccer. I don't know. He hasn't looked like the same guy for whatever.
I mean, Chelsea has like 12 attacking midfielders, so like he's their only forward. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's weird.
Yeah. No, they have a lot of I mean, Hazard. I don't know. I guess I think to kind of take devil's advocate or take the Chelsea standpoint. You know, they're expecting to get a lot of goals from Hazard. And, I mean, it's only been two games. But right now it looks like they need serious, serious forward help because they're not creating those chances like they were last year. So speaking of just some transfer talk, I think it is worth noting because we're on a City game. Kyle, have you been just eagerly just checking, you know, flight patterns and looking at every blog and back German network to find out what's going on with Kevin De Bruyne from Wolfsburg, or what's going on?
It's unbelievable. It's, you know, I think it's a little all too big for him because he doesn't really know what's going on, and it seems like his agent does, and they're not communicating because I don't know, but I've never, like, been pandering more on Twitter than I have in this last week. Just, like, anything.
Based on what you just said, he should come to Spurs. We have plenty of Belgians at Spurs. Sure, they'd make him feel
so many
comfortable.
Belgians.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to waffle in the middle of the table.
Well, I know, but he could be the catalyst that puts us over the edge. I mean, it sounds like maybe it's too big for him. Maybe he needs to go to a smaller environment, White Hart Lane. You know, we've got literally Belgians at every single position on the field. He'd feel comfortable. What's one more?
I think
Belgian?
I think he'd be a vast improvement from Eric Lamella.
Oh, God.
God, he's been just bad. So, yeah, and then finally, I think before we move off this game, but I agree that it is easily the most entertaining. God, if City gets De Bruyne, that'll just be insane. But Pellegrini,
I still feel like he's going to get fired. I still think he's going to get sacked. Like, they're going to go 15-0, and somehow he's going to find his way out of City because he just it seems like everybody in the world is just waiting to have something bad to say about him, and I don't think it's deserved. I mean, he's been obviously had a great start to this campaign. The players seem to love him. What do you guys think? What are your thoughts on the Pellegrini underrated? I mean, I don't even know if you can say anything else because I think he's just incredible.
I think it was a lot more touch and go even just a month ago. But yeah. Once they can, even though I get what you're saying, even though they re-signed him for, you know, another, I think it was, what, 2-4 years, something like that.
Yeah, but that doesn't, that never means
anything. I know that means nothing in, you know, soccer, but I, and Pep Guardiola or whatever, I forget.
Guardiola.
Yeah, he's been linked to City for God knows how long.
Well, he's out at Bayern after this year. They've already said, like, no matter what happens, he's like, I'm here for 3 years. 3 years ends. I'm gone. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess at this point I just wouldn't be surprised just how fast City moves with stuff. I mean, you saw how quickly the Mancini thing just unraveled, and he, you know, he had great years too. So I wouldn't rule anything out.
He was the first one to win. Didn't he win their first? He won City's first title in their history.
Yeah.
I mean, and then was gone.
But. I mean, Mancini, though, to you know, his demise, he was a lot more outspoken than, say, Pellegrini is, like, the most soft-spoken guy, you know, ever. So
In this era of Premier League managers just being kind of the face of their club,
he's the game.
He's the last one that's kind of happy to sit over in the corner and just win games, I guess. So
yeah,
good for him.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll watch that. I mean, obviously right now he's a god in Manchester, but I think as quickly as things turn, we could be singing a different tune after Boxing Day or something. But all right, so let's move on. That was a phenomenal game, and it's I think it's City's. I think City might as well just give him the trophy. But the next game we're going to talk about was the Everton Southampton game, a game in which my beloved Toffees all of a sudden went back to their 2012 form, or 2012-13 form, and played out of their minds. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch this game, but it was, as an Everton supporter, oh God, it was just the greatest thing in the world. And the main thing I'm going to look at is Barkley and Lukaku all of a sudden look like they're elite Premier League players, to which, you know, they didn't look like that at all last year. Kyle, you were really critical of Martinez. You're always critical of Martinez.
True.
But I think that this game kind of was like the style and efficiency and the type of play he wanted, or he's wanted all along. And maybe it's not going to be replicable, but it's at the same time, like, when you see this counterattacking style where I think all three of our goals were off counterattacks.
Yep.
And you kind of see him coming from the outside in, which he loves to do with these wingbacks, and then funneling through the attacking midfielders. It's really impressive when it works. But
yeah.
I don't know. We shall see. I think it was a really kind of like a vindicating game for Martinez. And obviously Lukaku was a menace the entire game. So I'm stoked and pumped. And I think, you know, all of a sudden now I think we're going to win the league. So that's a good feeling.
Nice. Yeah, talk about a tale of two games for you. No, I agree. But yeah, when the counterattack works, I mean, but the thing is, like, your offense is dictated kind of by the other team screwing up on offense, more or less. Which, you know, I get it from a personnel standpoint, you know, because, you know, the middle is not very good in Everton, you know. I mean, Gareth Barry's still seeing a shit ton of playing time, but they look great. I mean, there's no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, Lukaku and Barkley looked like, you know, the 1-2 punch, like you said, from 2-3 years ago when they, you know, were challenging for a Champions League spot. So,
yep,
good for them. You know, we'll see. I mean, we've seen the highs, we've seen the lows, we've seen a lot of Kone influence attack.
So he might never give up that starting position.
God, I love it.
Looks amazing out there.
Yeah,
I know.
Why not?
But he looks great.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, Brett, I was happy to see it too. I was really happy to see. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that this was the same Everton team that was celebrating coming back from down a goal and then down another goal at home to start the season on their opener. Like, that was like some versus
Watford.
Yeah.
Exactly, versus a newly promoted side. Like, I don't – and then 3-0 at Southampton. I don't understand it. I mean, the only point I wanted to make about this was regarding Southampton. I spoke offline to, I think it was Brett, or maybe, I don't know, it might have been in a text message or something like that, where I said, is this kind of the season where their defense, which has been held together and then picked apart over the year, or sorry, it was always a strength for them, and then it's been picked apart over the last few years, culminating with Morgan Schneiderlin being plucked this year by Manchester United. And I'm just starting to wonder, is he the guy? Was he the one that was, you know, making Shaw look good? You know, was he the guy that was making what's his name? The guy
Klein
Klein, Nathaniel Klein, yeah, exactly. Like, and then also Lallana, guys like that. Like, is he just kind of that midfield colleague that was doing so well? Because 5 goals in 2 games for them is giving up is not good.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it looks a lot different.
I think Font's the only one left.
Everyone was waiting for the shoe to drop last year when they got plucked, but it didn't. And I'm just wondering if this is a team that we will see kind of be in the relegation battle. I hope not. I love the Saints. Kyle thinks I doesn't like that. I don't like them for some reason. I have a lot of respect for them, and kind of the rise they made to get to where they are. But they're not a big club at all. And
no.
I think that maybe their expectations that they were on the same level as a kind of in between a Tottenham and then the next level down, like maybe an Everton and Aston Villa in size and Newcastle in size. I know those teams have been poor, but they're not. They're even smaller than that. So
I mean,
yeah,
they got plucked and they at the same, you know, at a smaller scale to Chelsea. They haven't spent any money.
Yeah, I
really.
Know.
So
in a while, and they have a good youth development program, but I'd like to see them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fun. They were kind of like the A's, the Moneyball A's, where they were developing all their own talent.
Well, they still are. They're just losing.
Yeah.
Like,
so they're like the A's of this year.
I think
I mean, we can't really see prospects or draft picks or anything like that. You know.
Yeah.
The 12-year-old that's going to save Southampton.
Brett, my only concern is that this is a good win for Everton today or yesterday, you know, or whenever it was 2 days ago. Will this be a good win for Everton in 4 weeks when Southampton's giving up goal, you know, to everyone? That's my question.
Well, it's a good morale booster going into next week, where the old light blues come to town.
Smack around.
Yeah, let's not. Well, I might just nap through that one. I might
avert your eyes. Yeah,
it's Sunday night football. Seriously. You can't even nap through that.
No, I can't.
Honestly, it's weird. It's like, it's now, I know it's been 2 games, but I don't want to go back to City, but I just expect City to just crush teams that they need, you know, with the exception of maybe, I don't even know who I wouldn't expect them to crush right now.
But. Chelsea, and they did.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, no, they're going to be, they are
Watch
the
out.
Team right now. All right, let's move on. Next game, the Battle of the S's, Spurs and Stoke. I almost don't even know what to say about this game.
I do.
Jake,
I know exactly what to say.
Any thoughts?
Yes, I have
one.
A lot of thoughts, but I will. I wrote down in our. We have a little cheat sheet where we just kind of go through what we're going to talk about. And all I wrote was another Spurs collapse, and that's all I can really say about it. I mean, they jumped out to a great first half. It was a very entertaining game, actually, just to kind of watch.
Yeah, it was. It kind of went.
Spurs
it kind
of.
I mean, just
chances.
The ebbs and flows.
Stoke had a number of chances. I think that if the first half would have ended like 3-1, I don't think anyone would have been surprised. And you know, there was a couple opportunities for Spurs in the start of the second half to really kind of put the game away. But they did what we've seen them do for a long time now, which is slowly kind of bleed out. They make a few big substitutions. They get rid of Kane, who was kind of dealing with a little bit of a knock. They took him out, thinking they had a comfortable 2-0 lead. They try and blink on who they subbed in exactly for him. I think was it
Lamella.
I couldn't remember if Lamella subbed in for him or for or right
yeah,
after
Lamella
that.
Lamella came on first.
And I mean, that's just I don't know. If you watch the games, Harry Kane was kind of doing everything, holding the ball up, making a lot of the passes.
His like little through ball game now. He has this new like touch through ball game. Unbelievable.
He loves picking the ball up off the ground and kind of chipping it over, and it has been working really well. But to kind of tie the bow on here, was it bled out, and Stoke saw that they could take advantage on the wings, and they started just destroying Spurs on the flanks and sending some really, really good crosses in. Before they scored their two goals in about 5 minutes, they had a number of chances right before that to score. And Spurs never really came too close to kind of regain the lead. I don't know. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising, I guess. I thought this was... We were told that defensive reinforcements were going to stop this type of thing from happening, but... I don't know. I don't know if it's on Poch. I don't know if it's on the defense. I don't know if it's on the fact that you just take Harry Kane out. But it's got to stop happening. And I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, I mean, it just shows you how much Harry Kane. Obviously, this is a dumb statement. How much he means to the team. But like, I feel like they're lost offensively without him. Which again, I guess is sounding kind of dumb now that I hear it. But like, it seems like their whole offense is kind of geared around the long ball. They love just, like, kind of playing the ball, and, like, normally Kane's there to kind of wrestle it down, and then they kind of build the attack going forward through that. And so with him out of there, kept throwing long balls to, like, Benteleb and, you know, like, just hoping he would track him down type of thing.
They threw a lot of long balls to Chadli after he left, actually.
Yeah, they did.
Well, they did score on one of those. But, and then they also scored on... They basically... Well, Chadli should have had a goal on a real, true long ball.
They should have had a lot of goals. I mean, they should have had more goals, I think, early on. I mean, the first 25 minutes, Spurs completely dominated. Like, just Chadli looked
took a really heavy
unbelievable.
Touch, I'm just saying, they're up 2-0. They don't need to keep pressing that, you know, that play button over the, you know, that's like playing Da Bomb over and over again type of thing in blitz.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just usually going for it every time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean... And maybe that's just kind of not Spurs' game to just try and possess the ball and kind of kill a game that way. But I don't know.
I think this is on Pochettino.
Okay, so if you want my... Kyle, to go back to that point real quick, that is what their game plan would have been. They would have played a lot of first-time balls after maybe picking... Like, so say, look, they get the ball, you know, 10 yards outside of their own box. Then what they would do is they play a quick low ball up to Harry Kane, who's, like, standing at midway line. And then Harry Kane is such an elite possessor of the ball that he would get it and, like, theoretically hold. And then, like you said, as soon as Harry Kane was gone, they couldn't play that midfield holding ball to him. So they started just launching the ball over the top, which doesn't allow for them to possess it, doesn't allow for them to even build a counterattack if that's what they're trying to go for. It's kind of just a here you go, here's a giving, we're giving the ball back, basically.
Yeah.
I think...
They don't have a holding striker.
Outside of that. Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, and Eriksen was, nowhere in the second half. I couldn't remember the announcer's name calling his name at all in the second half. But, I don't know.
I would say I agree it wasn't Eriksen's best game, even though I'm as high on him as anybody. I kind of want to... To wrap it up, I think that I think that Pochettino deserves a little bit of the blame here. I don't know even just a mentality with a 2-0 lead to just kind of turn into the team they turned into defensively. I mean, I don't really blame Alderweireld for the penalty. I mean, it was a really, really sick move on the end line, and he kind of just got beat. That wasn't really it. It was Jake said it. Like, Stoke was threatening and looked the more dangerous side for a large portion of, you know, I guess the last...
I would say they looked the more dangerous side for the first, like, 68 minutes, 65 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, like, from the...
And I just don't know. I think Pochettino... I mean, it's kind of funny that corresponds almost directly with when Kane came out, but I don't know if you can do that. I just think that the mentality and kind of, like... I think they need to have a hard look at, like, even just what we do when we have a 2-0 lead in a game like this at home. How do you close out a game? Because that was just... It's just terrible. I mean, you can't do that. And so,
that would have been a big 3 points, too, against Stoke, who's only going to get better.
So, that's my thoughts on that. I think those are good points. We'll see what happens. I mean, they got Kane, they got Eriksen, they have players. It's just like this type of stuff just must be just
Yeah. Brutal. I mean, to finalize the point is they've played two matches now, and I don't think anyone would say that they played like that. They just like laid an egg. You know, the 1-0 defeat at Manchester United. There's some positives you could take out of that, and then there's this match, which there's a lot of positives to take out, but some kind of glaring negatives. But at the same time, it's not like a 4-0 defeat to City where we just had no chance. Like, you get the feeling that this team could contend in certain areas if they just, like you said, fix what seemed to be small problems. But
I agree. All right, let's go to a second London derby. Not that Spurs Stoke was. London Derby last week too.
They got
back to back. Smoked. Arsenal Crystal Palace. It's we have London here that I like this line. It was actually a pretty cool game. It really was. It was a good game. Olivier Giroud had, I mean, one of the best goals you're going to see probably all season, with kind of this half bicycle, half full volley thing off a vintage Mesut Ozil cross, which I thought was, I mean, it was such a great, I love crosses like this because he picked his head up and he actually, like, it wasn't just like I'm just going to whip this ball in and see if somebody gets on it. He totally picked out the back shoulder of Giroud and it just was just a beautiful goal. So I don't know. There's probably not a ton to talk about in this game other than Arsenal rebounded in a big way after their horrible opening week loss to West Ham. So now I don't know. I don't know what Arsenal team we're going to get. I think we're probably all going to say, or maybe you guys aren't, but having Alexis Sanchez in there makes a huge difference out of the gate. And if Ozil's playing well, they kind of can be the Arsenal we thought they were going to be from before last week.
Yeah, I mean, they go as Sanchez goes, beginning and end of story. That's, I think, the biggest takeaway out of this. I did want to see a little more fireworks out of Pardew and Wenger, because I know those two don't like each other at all. So I wanted to see a little bit on that front, but, you know, like you said, it was still relatively entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Sanchez played really well. He's a force. He's tough. He's tough to deal with. He's a problem for anyone, and he's obviously a top five player in the league. If you don't have a player like that, it can make a big difference. I still think their defense could struggle. There was a couple opportunities for Crystal Palace that, one of them went off. I was not just in the highlights. One of them went off the post, very like, kind of unluckily, and I think Arsenal could be a team that scores more and gives up more goals than they did last year. Both sides of that.
Well, when you have your favorite Per Mertesacker manning the center defense, I think anything's on the table, to be honest. I think that's it's a good breakdown. I don't know. We'll see what Arsenal we get. Who knows? They're just another team with just kind of hard to pick them out this early. But we'll keep an eye on that. And then to a Northern England derby. That's not a thing, by the way. But Manchester United versus Aston Villa. I don't know. Does anybody want to tackle this one out of the gate, or their thoughts on United? I think that's probably more. Villa looks kind of weak, in my opinion. But if anybody has any thoughts on United, speak now.
I will start out by saying I do not want to go entire season of watching this Manchester United team play games. I watched them play Spurs last week, and that was difficult for me to sit through. And they're boring. They don't have any intrigue. Nobody's interesting. Maybe you could say Memphis is interesting, but I think he's been
just because he's new.
But he's been underwhelming, and he's seems just like a little bit like a douche. I don't know. Am I the only one that gets that vibe from him? But
I mean, the fact that he goes by Memphis on the back of his jersey. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was another boring game. It was a deflection goal after some good work by, a good pass by Mata, who I do like, and then to Jan Izay. But I don't know. I, like, compare this with even just watching the Liverpool game today, which also finished 1-0, and it was more entertaining all around.
Oh, night
and day. I don't think an Aston Villa problem. I think it's a Manchester United issue, and I'm not. I mean, they have 6 points, good for Louis van Gaal, but I'm
It's boring. It's been boring. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I'm going to make two quick points. One, I actually like this Aston Villa team, but, you know, it's hard to like any team with Sherwood at the mound, you know, at the helm. So I won't go too deep into that. But I will say it's kind of weird. It's like, it's almost like Stoke is like climbing up to become Manchester United, and Manchester United is declining into Stoke. Like, just styles of play are kind of swapping sides there. So I don't know. Yeah. That's my little blurb there. I don't really know much after that.
I don't like United, so seeing them have a really not entertaining team, it just gives me another reason to dislike them. I don't know. This whole team just seems kind of like not repulsive, that's a little harsh, but just like, I don't know. They're just not, it's not a fun team to watch.
I'm not a fan of Liverpool, but their team at least has, I don't know, there's just, the Coutinho gets me excited, like, he's cool to watch. Jordan Ibe is young and fast and fun. Like, Sturridge, when he's healthy, can be fun. And, like, Benteke is cool. You can't name a person on this Manchester United team that you're like, man, it's much watched TV every week, you know? At least I can't yet. Maybe that person is around, but we just don't know yet. But maybe that's Louis van Gaal, but I don't know.
I don't know. Let's move into that pool game, the Liverpool game, the Monday night football game.
Take a dip.
Liverpool and Bournemouth. Bournemouth, I said
that
before
says
the
it
game.
All, doesn't it? I like them. I like them today. I don't. They're fun.
No, I mean,
they were okay. I thought Liverpool deserved probably to win two, probably more than one goal. But yeah, I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, I can't. I want to hear your opinion. I thought so. I hate Liverpool. Obviously, I'm an Everton fan. But Coutinho has become to me one of the most. You mentioned this, but I think he's become literally one of the most entertaining players in the league to watch. Top. I mean, he's every time he gets the ball, he's like back heeling. He's like doing these little like flick ons over people. Like he does not do anything normal. I mean, you just watch the guy move around the pitch. I mean, it kind of has like a. You know who also has this factor about his game? Maybe when he was a little younger, kind of was like the Clint Dempsey thing, where he plays a little, it's like this street soccer type thing where you just wants to put on a show all the time. So Coutinho's doing that, and then also, you know, I mean, I don't know, he's been kind of their cog and controlling everything. The team is obviously so much better without Steven Gerrard. It's just so much better, which is just hilarious.
How much more athletic do they look? It's insane.
They look so much more athletic.
I'm not even sure so they're more. Not better without Jordan Henderson. Like, I'm still waiting to see that this guy is, like...
He's the captain, Jake. That means he's going to be there for 8 more years. Like,
no, I know.
Never
like,
coming out of the game forever.
Can someone, like, point to how he's markedly better than Emre Can, like, right now? I don't know if he is.
I mean, he's a better facilitator, but yeah.
I don't know. I think he's okay.
Okay, let me just put it this way. Is there any doubt in your mind that Emre Can will be better at some point in the next 2 years and he will still not get the playing time he deserves or get sold off because they're protecting Jordan Henderson, who's the new Gerrard?
Yeah, Liverpool has this hilarious, this old club mentality that I just absolutely just, God, if I was a Liverpool fan, I would just, I don't think I could handle it. But it's just, it's so funny. Like, even their fans, I don't know, if you're watching their fans, like, they're like, oh, Anfield, they're such they know their football here. And it's like, okay, kinda. But what by making Jordan Henderson their captain, I swear to you, I think he's, like, it essentially makes him, like, a starting center mid for this team until he retires. Which is just so funny, because there's so much pride around these things. And I agree, I think he's better than Jake's giving him credit for, but yeah. I also think that in 5 years he might be done, and knowing Liverpool, they'll find a way to like make him the face of this team because he's a clean cut, you know, like Liverpool guy who's been with the club. He's a one club guy type thing, and that's what they like. So I think it's hilarious, to be honest. As an Everton fan, it's just great fun to watch them just kind of like overrate and overvalue these homegrown guys who they, I don't know. These Gerrard. They're just trying to find another Gerrard, and he's the closest thing.
Well, it's funny. I mean, obviously the Gerrard thing's a huge factor in this, but, like, I mean, you watch the game today, and anytime any player got the ball for Liverpool, they just sprinted toward the other goal with the ball, and everyone just kind of went, too. Like, everyone's just go, go, go.
Jordan Ibe did that so many times today. It was so
funny. Literally everyone. Right. Every single person just sprinted. And it was awesome to watch. But then, like, you saw, like, I want to say two-thirds through the game, like, some of the Liverpool guys just got gassed. And, you know, like, Rodgers put in some, you know, interesting substitutions, but whatever. But, yeah, it was a highly entertaining game.
Yeah, I agree.
Who do you think's a better manager, though? Do you think it's Rodgers or do you think it's Eddie Howe?
I think you think it's Eddie Howe, is what I think.
I kind of think it's Eddie Howe, too. Well, not kind of. I also think that I wanted to ask Kyle this earlier. Brett, you can answer, too. It's just for fun. They both had 2015s that have been struggling. Which Northern Irishman has had a better 2015? Has it been Rory McIlroy or has it been your boy, the Barrage?
I think it's been McIlroy because he's still, I mean, he was.
Rory McIlroy, who hasn't won a tournament, sprained his ankle, and then hasn't really done well in any of the majors. That Rory
McIlroy. Yeah,
but
he's got a hot new girlfriend, so he's at least moved up in that department.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm giving it, maybe because I just like McIlroy.
You don't
so
think
much
Barrage
more
has a hot new girlfriend? I bet Brendan Rodgers has a hot new girlfriend.
That's a good point. I haven't really dove into that one. But
that's such a good point. He probably does. Speaking of good managers, because I know where this group is a big Gary Monk fan base.
Is Swansea,
I mean, other than, are they the only team that can challenge City for the title? Because that's sure looking like that. Badafimbi Gomis has been, like, arguably the striker. Well, he's probably been the striker of the Premier League and arguably the player of the Premier League.
Yeah, I think
far.
He's been the player of the year so far. I mean, it's two games, but yes, he's been the player of the year.
And Jefferson Montero, holy cow. Yeah. He is, like, where has he been? I mean, I was trying to look up his past, and he's Ecuadorian. He rolled around a bunch of, like, these Mexican Premier League teams and kind of, like, I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's already looking to me like he's got Real Madrid's got his name on him or Barcelona, you know, for next year. So we'll see what happens there. But I just wanted to hit on the Swansea thing. They beat Newcastle 2-0 and looked, you know, the part. So looked like the week one wasn't a fluke. So we'll see what happens with them going forward.
They are fun. They are fun to watch.
Really fun to watch. Yeah, I think. I think we're running up against it a little bit here, a little bit more time. But if you guys want to maybe break, I don't think we need to break down the other games, but I think it would
be
interesting.
I'll just say Tottenham's got to go on the road and do their best to get a point from known powerhouse Leicester City, who's currently second in the table. Good luck. Good luck,
with
Spurs.
The leading scorer, too, Mahrez.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
he
I'm,
had a great
I'm
goal
joking,
last week.
But we'll have to get to the Foxes next week because I'm. Especially if they take care of Tottenham, because that team, who knows? They're fun.
Can we just barrel on Sunderland another week? Because I think it's just hilarious. They're so bad.
I hate them. They're just such a joke. They're just a joke. Who's in your right now? What's your relegation prediction? I think that's a good thing to go. Kyle, why don't you go first? Obviously, I think Sunderland's going to be in yours.
Yeah, for the record, I'm still shocked that their manager's name is Dick Advocate. Like, that's just, I mean, come on. I mean, that's too funny.
I don't think he's going to be their manager for much longer,
to be
honest.
But if I'm looking at the table now.
By the time people listen to this podcast, he may already be out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Chex Mix definitely pulled their sponsor for this week. I'm going to say, as much as I want to see him stay up, I don't think Bournemouth have enough there. And I'm going to go with, I don't know. I'll say Norwich. Nothing
just
about that. But I don't know.
The Canaries?
Yeah.
Janak?
No, I love the Canaries. I think that if we could just relegate Sunderland three levels instead of one, would that kind of
I don't want to see them for 4 years. I don't
like
want
every
to
other
see
team
them close.
Up here. I like every other team up here, but Sunderland is just boring to watch. I think Sunderland, West Brom, who I don't think has enough this year, and I don't think Tony Pulis's shit's going to work this year. Does that make sense? I don't know. I think we're going to see more offense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think if they sell Berahino, I agree they're a shoo-in to go down.
I think, yeah, Sunderland, West Brom, and I would probably say Watford.
Okay. Yeah, I think Sunderland. My West Brom thing, I think it is West Brom, but I think there's a caveat. I was just reading in the gossip, you know, headlines that they're essentially trying to just fire sale. They're having a fire sale. So if West Brom does find a way to get rid of, I mean, six of their starters are like transfer listed right now. So if a few of them go, if Berahino goes, Saito Berahino has been amazing. At least last year, he was kind of like the only reason that kept them up. So if they're gone, they go down. And then I'm going to take a stab. I think that, as much as I hate to say it, I don't know. I think that Aston Villa might, I know Kyle, you think this is an improved team from their previous Aston Villas, but I just am not super sold. I don't know.
I thought you were going to back your prediction from 2 years ago and go Southampton the way they've started.
I know. Now it'd be a little bit
now
more
Now it
timely.
Looks great.
but I'm not going to do that yet. But I think that, you know, yeah, I don't know. They have a shot. Cool. Guys, anybody want to touch on anything in the MLS real quick? I think we're about wrapping up, though.
I kind of got to jump off here, but...
Cool. All right, let's end it. This was another week of Just for Kicks podcast. We shall see you around the bend a week from now. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Brett. Get my monkey off my back and you monkey me. So addicted to you.